Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Why is the world as messed up as it is when we have all of these technological advancements that are supposed to make our lives better? We're supposed to be more connected now than ever before. The problem is we're connected with people we never see. They just liked us. We're connected with tons of people. And the goal of the life now is to have so many likes. Who cares if you really know these people or not, if they really even like you or not? It's a numbers game. But we don't know them. And it's all meaningless. We're searching for something. And without Christ, we just won't find it.
The only place you can find true cleansing, forgiveness, and life is in Jesus Christ, He who paid the price for all sin. In such a digital age, it's not that hard to get sucked into a desire for the meaningless approval of the world. In today's message, Pastor Troy will urge us to let go of our love for the things and opinions of this world. Cling unto the blessed hope that we've been given through Christ. Embrace the only one whose opinion really matters. In Christ we stand, and that's all we'll ever need. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. We'll talk about the fact that we are made alive in Christ. Today, Paul paints a picture, a dark picture of what our life is like apart from Christ or before Christ. Before you surrendered your life to Christ, it was darker than you may have realized. According to Paul, we were dead, spiritually dead. Now, Paul refers to it as being dead in sins and trespasses. Now, we feel alive. I mean, we think, we process, we resist, because whatever I want, I will oppose someone else who wants something different. That's where wars come from. But from heaven's perspective, we're dead. There is no contact. There is no connection. We're dead. You know, when you haven't heard from somebody in a long time, you wonder, what has happened to them? Are they okay? In a small way, it's like they're dead. There's no contact. There's no communication. Well, from heaven's perspective, men are born spiritually dead. There is no communion, nor do we seek the Father. We know there's something we're seeking. There's something we're after, and so we chase enlightenment, figure out how to hum with the world. We try to find spiritual things to do because we're created with this need to worship. But we don't know what it is we're looking for. We fill it with drugs. We fill it with trophies. We fill it with many things. We're on a search. We just don't know what it is. And it's because we're dead. Dead in sins and trespasses. Paul shed light on this type of being dead when he said, don't walk like the Gentiles who don't know God. And then he goes on to say, Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. That's our condition apart from Christ before we are introduced to the Lord. So alienation from God is spiritual death. Yes, people feel like they're alive, but they're dead. All they're doing is floating with the current of this world, and they will be dropped off in that period of judgment, with no hope in this life. People don't need the self-help books Although we can learn things from people who've done things, who've figured some things out. That's great. You've run the race ahead. Thank you for your insight. But that's not the life change that we need, not from these self-help books. You educate a person, you have an educated sinner. You give that person lots of money, you bring them out of poverty and give them money, and you have a wealthy sinner. You put them in extensive psychological counseling, and you may come out with a well-adjusted sinner. But you still have a sinner in need of a Savior. You bring that person to the foot of the cross, and what you'll have is a forgiven sinner. And that's what we need. We don't need to figure out why we're a sinner, why we do things, what the source of all of that is in our hearts and in our families' lives, and to figure all of that out. What we need to understand is we are a sinner. If no one else ever existed, we would still sin. And our sin is against God, who alone can forgive us. Now, when you go to the source and you receive your forgiveness, your pardon, it changes so many things in your life. It takes so much of the weight off. I don't know if you've ever offended somebody, but you don't carry a weight when someone else is around. You only feel the tension, or you carry the weight when that person's around. You've offended them, or them, and anyone else that may be involved with them. And it's like, oh man, there they are. What do I say? What do I do? And there's a distance, there's a wedge. It's difficult, and there's a weight that you carry. It can damage your own health because you worry so much about it. So what we need is forgiveness, reconciliation to that person that we've offended. And we are created in such a way that eternity is built into us, this knowledge that there's something far bigger going on, far more going on. When we sin, it hits that area of our life so that we realize inside, maybe on the outside, we don't want to confess it, we don't want to realize it, we don't want to acknowledge it, we don't want rules or anything else, but it's still there. And we're lost, and we look for so many places to get rid of this. But the only place that you can find true forgiveness and cleansing and life is in Jesus Christ. We come to Him, He who paid the price for all sin. Why is the world as messed up as it is when we have all of these technological advancements that are supposed to make our lives better? We're supposed to be more connected now than ever before. The problem is we're connected with people we never see. They just liked us. We're connected with tons of people. And the goal of the life now is to have so many likes. Who cares if you really know these people or not, if they really even like you or not? It's a numbers game. But we don't know them. And it's all meaningless. We're searching for something. And without Christ, we just won't find it. And so here goes the world, floating down with the current of this world, this culture. What's in? What's hip? What's right? What's good? What's everybody doing? And like a dead person floating down a stream, that's where we find ourselves, apart from the Lord, apart from Christ. In Christ, we're able to stand up, get footing, and walk against the current of the world. So Paul reminds us of that. He's been explaining the spiritual possessions that we have, all that we have in Christ, the wealth that we have to our avail, so that we can enjoy the position, which is what he talks about now, the position we have in Christ. In verse 1, we read, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." We bought into what the world said. We just lived according to its economy. And maybe we enjoyed life, but we were still destined for wrath, death, separation from God. But the good news is you are saved if you put your faith in him. Those he made alive, part of being alive is you are saved. Now, this is important because many don't realize they need to be saved. Saved from what? I'm doing fine. Yeah, you're doing fine for a dead person, a spiritually dead person. You're living it up, but you're dead. At the end of all of this, and it happens quickly, it goes fast, you will realize how insignificant the life you thought you were living really was, and that there's something beyond this that is so important to live for. You need to be saved from this world that keeps us magnetized to itself, living in it, living according to its principles and its ways and its path. Paul says that we were dead in sins and trespasses. He says we used to walk according to these things, sins and trespasses, according to the course of this world. Now, that's interesting. He says, you're dead in sins and trespasses, and you walked. Well, how does a dead person walk? Well, according to the movies now, the zombies, you know exactly what happens. What they didn't realize is those zombies that are so grotesque, walking around dead, that's them. That's us before Christ. The zombies aren't coming. You're already zombies. Trust me, we probably look that bad already as far as heaven is concerned. But God saves us from our sins and trespasses. Paul says that the ways of the world are manipulated by the prince of the power of the air. We walk according to that course, and we know who that is. Satan. Satan's been referred to as the God of this age. Satan's great desire is not that you come and worship him first. First, he just wants you to not worship God. So if that means you don't believe in Satan and he just manipulates all he wants to, and you, oh, there is no devil, there is no Satan, and there is no God, that's one hallelujah Satan might give and shout out. Because that's all he wants is separation. He just wants you dead too. So he works to deceive and even destroy if he can. And we walk according to the course of this world. Distracted, busy, forgetting that there is a God. You know, some Christians live like there is no God. Not in acknowledging him. Hey, you're up there. Yeah, oh, you're the Lord. Hallelujah. And sing some songs. But when you make decisions and you live your life and you walk in this life, it's like you just float down the current with life. Make no decisions that say, hey, Lord, I'm alive to you. I'm calling you. I'm not dead. We're talking. And what do you want? What should I do? How should I make this decision? That's alive. Communication, conversation. But so many who would call themselves Christian, it's like they're cut off from all communication. They don't talk and they don't live as if he really does exist. They say he does, but they don't live like he does. So you are saved from that. And because in this life we're lost, not knowing the directions we ought to go, we don't have someone telling us where to go, what to do, what this is all about. We have the questions, we just don't go to him. The idea of walking around here is a picture of meandering. You walked according to the course of this world. You meandered, like try a little of this, do this, go here, figure this out, walk this way. No clear purpose or direction. Trying to just survive life and get through it. A little religion here, less religion over here. And we just try to get through life. That's the picture here. You're meandering through life, going at the course of the prince of the air, Satan. And we walk. The idea of walking is that you're making decisions and setting your course by the course of the world. What it says is right, good. What it values, its principles, its guidelines. And so we buy a lot of stuff from the world. Its philosophies, its principles, the way it's going, the trends it sets. Have you ever gone to a store? Maybe you got a little time to kill. So you go into a store, you shouldn't have, But you do, because you got time to kill, and I'd rather waste it here, walking around, meandering through the store. And then in there, you find things you didn't know you needed, or things that were on sale. You don't need it, but that's such a good sell. I'll buy it and hold on to it. And so you go in, and you come out with things you didn't need. You purchase things, and you come out carrying things now you didn't need. The world is like that. We're buying stuff from the world because we're meandering, dabbling here, experiencing this, doing a little of that, and we're not focused. You know, Paul said, I don't just swing my hands wildly. As I'm trying to grow in the Lord and develop in Him, I'm not just swinging my arms wildly. I am focusing, hitting directly the target. I don't have time to waste. I don't have emotion to waste. I don't have finances to waste. I don't have anything to waste. So I focus. I don't meander. I don't beat the wind wildly. But the world does. And as a result, there are so many ideas and so many philosophies. And there's a world that exists today that is dead. They have forgotten God. Because men have lost sight of God, Paul says, they're dead in their sins and trespasses. So what are sins and trespasses? What are these things anyway? Well, I'm not going to list them all. We'd have to do the rest of this year trying to figure them all out, and we'd still miss some. But let me just give you the principle of it. Sin means to miss the mark. To miss the mark. So if somebody establishes, you don't get to make the mark. God makes the mark. And He establishes the mark, and let's just use bow and arrows as a picture here. Let's say you draw back and he said, here's the mark, here's right, here's good. Okay. So not only do you have to hit the mark, you got to hit dead center of the mark. I mean, you got to hit dead center. Anything less is not perfect. So you aim and boom, you hit it. Oh man, stop there, you're ahead. But you can't because life continues. And so you keep shooting arrows, but maybe you get a little tired or whatever, but all the others begin to fall short. You got one that's perfect, but 19... that fell short, off center. You know what that makes you? A sinner. You weren't perfect. Now, it had nothing to do with morals at that point. Here's the target. You missed it. You are a sinner. So, now you're a sinner. You may group better than others. You know what that means? Those of you guys who fired weapons know what I mean. All your arrows are in a group. So maybe you didn't hit center and they're all over the place like you had no consistency. You have good consistency. You grouped them 1 inch down, 1 inch over. I mean, that's good shooting. That's applause worthy. But guess what? Perfect is one hits the center and the rest hit the center of that arrow, splitting them. That's perfect. In God's eyes, that's acceptable. Anything less, you're a sinner. But I was better than those guys. No, see, the cutoff isn't, here's first place, here's second place, here's third place, and after that, no one else gets into heaven. It's, you must hit dead center every single time. That's the standard. So it really doesn't matter how much closer you were. You were a little bit better sinner than the others, a little better aim, but you're still a sinner. So for some of you, maybe that you feel like you're a worse person than others, let me just say, God doesn't see you that way. He sees everybody that way. Everybody's the same. We're sinners. You're not worse than somebody else. Different. But the solution is the same as everybody else too. It's not aim better, aim better, aim better. Fix it yourself. It's know that someone else took up the bow and aimed perfectly and hits dead center every time. And He wants to lead you. He wants, every time God wants to do something in your life, He wants to wrap His arms around you and grab that bow and arrow. And He wants to say, hey, let go. You're part of this, but let me do it. And He wants to hit dead center every single time. It's a matter of not trying to do better, but let go. And trust God. Trust the Lord. As sinners, people don't do that. So, that's sin, missing the mark. Now, trespass. As if the news couldn't get worse. Sin, That's bad enough. We're sinners. We're stuck. It gets worse than that because trespass is to cross a known boundary. This is intentional. You knew about the boundary. So a stop sign out there, and you know it's a stop sign. You read English, stop. It's not a big word. And if you don't know the word, everyone knows the shape and color of the sign too. And so we see it, and no one's around, so I must not need to stop. And so we go right through it, right? That's a trespass. That's not just sin. I hear a lot of murmuring right now, a lot of trespassers in this. I didn't call it a sin, I called it a trespass. So a known boundary. Let's use, we always use little Johnny. Has anyone got a little Johnny? Because I'd really hate to make him feel really bad about his life, but, oh, we got a little Johnny right here. So anyway, little Johnny is much littler than this little Johnny. Let's say he's real, real young. And he's got his little paper airplane and stuff, and he plays with it. You wax the kitchen floor. It's all taken care of. And you know, when you wax the kitchen floor, you don't want anyone stepping, leaving an impression in the wax. You want it to dry, clean, pure. And so you've mopped. You've done everything. Little Johnny throws his little airplane in the house. It goes onto the table. Hey, he just kind of goes over there to get it, right? Just in the course of living life, nothing wrong. So he walks right on the floor. You, get off the floor, get off the floor. Look, now he didn't know maybe. Maybe he's never had this explained to him. So you pull him aside and you explain to him, look, don't walk on there. I've got to do this again now because I got to make it clean and look at your footprints. And you explain to him clearly that he was in violation of something that was right, even though he didn't know it. Okay. What Johnny did was sin. He sinned. He didn't know it. He didn't know better. But it was sin. It was wrong. It was wrong, even if he didn't know. Some will ask the question about, well, how are people going to be judged before, like, the law? You know, weren't they given the law so we could know we were sinners? No, we were given the law so we could realize how far depraved we were. See, before the law ever came, people knew God. You know, Cain and Abel? Cain knew God. Cain knew God. Still killed his brother. And what God said to him was, Cain, I'm sorry that we didn't put the law out before your time, or you'd be a sinner. No, he said, Cain, don't you understand? Sin is crouching at your door to do what is wrong, to do things the wrong way. It's crouching at your door. It didn't depend on the law coming, but knowing what's right and wrong. And knowing what I have said, you should be able. So not only are you in sin, but you're trespassing against my will. Everyone from the very beginning has had a chance to know right from wrong from God. Adam and Eve had it. They should have passed it down. Now, if my kids, I'm passing down the gospel to them, if they choose to make different decisions later on so that my grandchildren, their children, do not hear about the Lord, guess what? My grandchildren would sort of be in the position that the world is in, lost. Why didn't God tell me? Why, what about the pygmy in Africa? What about that? Well, here's what happened. Somebody sinned. Turned their back on God who knew him, decided not to share him, and it gave those behind them a disadvantage. Our sin messes with other people.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned something new from Pastor Troy's study in the book of Ephesians and that your faith has been strengthened along the way. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you, free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. You'll also find our podcast on iTunes, and when you subscribe, you'll have updated messages as soon as they're available. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Pastor Troy will have much more to share next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in